Be seated. It might not be live, but when you praise and you worship the Lord from your heart, amen. There's power in praise and worship, folks.
Yes, there is.
And Tim's got a song that he's just been cranking out to want us to hear, and we're going to make plans to do that. And this was something Timmy talked to me about just prior to my little accident. You know. So, today is June 14th. Do you know what today is? Flag Day. This day is the birthday of our flag. A day to honor our nation's flag and a reminder to all American citizens to appreciate what our flag stands for. Freedom. Freedom, folks. The freedom it represents costs the blood of many to attain and to maintain. And they did it for us. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we held at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does the star-spangled banner yet wave of the land of the free and the home of the brave. It's an honor to stand and address our flag. And you know how we address it? It's called the Pledge of Allegiance. So would you join with me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. When I was a kid growing up and going to school, I mean, I was raised to respect the flag. But that was one of the highlights of my morning, was getting there and praying in school and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I just couldn't wait to say it. And in fact, you know, what's ironic is when you know the history behind it, when that was put into effect, into the flag code, to say the Pledge of Allegiance, a year later the Supreme Court said that it was not, you couldn't make a child say it. I couldn't wait to say it. And everybody in my class, I don't remember anybody in my classes or even in the years that I went to school, had a problem with saying the Pledge of Allegiance. But you know, there have been more fights over this all the way to the Supreme Court. It's fought on state levels, local levels. You either love the country or you don't. Ask somebody who came from another country, Floriana. And I'll tell you what, you want to hear her testimony sometimes? It's awesome. You know. Well, she's had to learn to talk more because she married you. Okay, I'm not going there. Okay, let's get... All right. But when we talk about it, we say the Pledge of Allegiance. We say indivisible. Indivisible. Something indivisible cannot be broken up or divided. It's solid rock. Some of the synonyms for that: joined, indissolvable, inseparable, impenetrable, permanent, unbreakable. Here's one: unified. Unified. One nation under God, unified. The first celebration of the United States flag's birthday was held in 1877 on the 100th anniversary of the flag resolution of 1777. The resolution stated that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate, red and white, and that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field, representing a new constellation. Constellation. That is the configuration of stars, especially at one's birthday. Wonder why wording is so important. However, it is believed that the first annual recognition of the flag's birthday dates back to 1885, when school teacher B.J. Segrand first organized a group of Wisconsin school children to observe June 14th, the 108th anniversary of the official adoption of the Stars and Stripes as the flag's birthday. Segrand, now known as the father of Flag Day, continued to publicly advocate the observance of June 14th as the flag's birthday or Flag Day for years. But just a few years later, the efforts of another school teacher, George Balch, it led to the formal observance of Flag Day on June 14th by the New York State Board of Education. Over the following years, as many as 36 state and local governments adopted the annual observance. For over 30 years, Flag Day remained a state and local celebration. In 1916, the anniversary of the flag resolution of 1777 became what is this going on here? Excuse me. That's better. Okay, became a nationally observed event by a proclamation by President Woodrow Wilson. However, it was not designated a National Flag Day until August 3rd, 1949. When an act of Congress designated June 14th of each year as National Flag Day. Today is 243 years. Happy birthday. Today, Flag Day is celebrated with parades, essay contests, ceremonies, and picnics sponsored by veterans groups and schools. Wait a minute. Not today. There's too many things that happen. We don't have time to honor the flag today. Nah, we've got this coronavirus. We've got racism. We've got fighting amongst ourselves. Come on. Where's the love? Okay, but there are groups like the National Flag Day Foundation whose goal is to preserve the traditions, history, pride, and respect that are due the nation's symbol. Oh, glory. See, when we look at the flag, it speaks loudly. It speaks freedom. But it also reminds us we are one nation under God. One nation under God. That is what separates us from the other nations. Okay. This is from my Patriot Bible here. And we're going to turn here to page 298. And it's about the Pledge of Allegiance in here. But I'm going to read you the very last paragraph. In 1954, hey, that was a very good year. Yeah, that's my year. President Dwight D. Eisenhower approved the words, under God, in the pledge in order to differentiate the United States from the officially atheist Soviet Union. But they've come a long way since then. Even though they might say it, there's some major Christian churches over there. As he authorized this change, he said, and I quote, "In this way, we are reaffirming the transcendence." That means existence of religious faith in America's heritage and future. In this way, we shall constantly strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resource in praise, in peace and war. Most powerful. It's what he said they would be. We got to start using this nation as one nation under God. Keep confessing that. Don't change it. I know there's a lot of times your mouth wants to say other things. Make sure you say, we are one nation under God. That is the United States. In Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed and prosperous is the nation who has God as their Lord. They will be the people he has chosen for his own. That's us, folks. And we are blessed and prosperous. This nation of ours had so much growth moving forward. And then we had something called COVID-19. When COVID-19 hit, if more people would have jumped up right away and took Jesus 2020 against them, I don't think it would have went as far. But everybody went, boom, what just hit us? What happened? And we sat back. And we were dazed. And then they started to count. Yeah. And guess what? We're up. We're up again. Amen. And we're going to stay up. Amen. Because we're believers. Yeah. We're mountain movers. Yeah. We're water walkers. Yeah. We're more than overcomers. Amen. We're conquerors. See, we've been set free. President Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we're one nation under God, then we'll be a nation gone under. You know, all that's going on every day and under the darkness of night, folks, there is legislation that is being passed that is affecting our liberties. Let me say this. They're trying to take them away. We have to be more involved and more aware of what's going on. You got to dig deep. If you think you're going to get it from watching the news, sorry. Mm-mm. I won't even go there. So a priority for us every day is to pray for peace. Peace within our nation and wisdom for our nation's leaders, especially all levels of government. Pray for God's peace, God's wisdom. And I've been talking about prayer. Everything that was in here and continued about prayer, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost took over, and all of a sudden, so I followed his lead. We also must be aware of the words we speak about our nation. We've been taught well, and we know what we speak carries consequences. The other day, this is what I heard in my spirit, and it was very clear. And I said, okay. So the only thing I had with me was a McDonald's receipt for an unsweet tea and a couple breakfast burritos, entries. So actually, I scribbled down what it said. Why do my people who are called by my name keep saying what they think they can't do instead of saying what my word says they can do by simply quoting my word. And then he threw Philippians 4:13. Can you say it with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What can you do?
All things.
All things. Because he's the one who strengthens you. Because in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, depend on the Lord for strength. Depend on the Lord for strength. Always go to Him for help. Where does your strength come from? Who are you supposed to go to? Because He will strengthen you. And you will, with His help, be able to do all things. Yes. You will be able to do all things with His help. Don't try to do them all by yourself. I've been there. It don't work very well. Follow His leading and His guiding. He'll tell you what to do if you ask. And then He'll help you do it. He doesn't expect you to do it all on your own. But when you take the action to follow what He's told you to do, you will accomplish what you set out to do. Then you know what you're supposed to do? Thank you, Lord. That's the most important thing. Thank you, Lord. Even if it hasn't happened yet, thank you, Lord. Because you know it's going to happen. But words, what we speak carries consequences, as I said. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What you are meditating on is what will come out of your spirit through your mouth. Long time ago, 33 years ago, a fellow said this, and I grabbed a hold of it because I loved it. Garbage in, garbage out. Carmen said it. I first got saved. I latched on to a lot of those things. So it's what you put in. It's going to be coming out. Remember this in Psalm 66, verse 7. Psalm 66, verse 7. He rules by His powerful power forever. His eyes observe the nations. He doesn't miss a thing. He doesn't sleep. He's got His eye on you. He's got His eye on everyone. All at the same time. Can He do it? He's God. He's God. And it goes on to say in part B of that, do not let the rebellious, that is a desire to resist authority. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. No. Let me read you something here. I know the American people are much attached to their government. I know they would suffer much for its sake. I know they would endure evils long and patiently before they would ever think of exchanging it for another. Yet, notwithstanding all this, if the laws be continually despised and disregarded, if their rights to be secure in their persons and property are held by no better tenure than the caprice of a mob, the alienation of their affection for the government is the natural consequence, and to that, sooner or later, it must come. You want to know who said that? Abraham Lincoln said that. Back on January 27th, 1838. Interesting. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Here's Jesus speaking. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. Your very words will be used as evidence against you, and your words will declare you either innocent or guilty. Confirmation? And they will. Your words will declare you either innocent or guilty. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? You don't even have to say, so help me God, anymore. They took that out. Yeah. They took it out. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe. Ooh! Wow. Wounding them with a sword. Or shooting them with a sharp arrow. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Oh, really? Really? Just words? That's not what the Word of God says, is it? In Isaiah 54, 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper in every tongue that rises up. Listen, weapons are formed against you by words. They're formed against you by words. So now let me read that again. Telling lies about others, those are words, is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. You understand? Weapons that are formed against you, they form them with their lips and their mouths, and with their tongue, they proceed to spew it forward. Proverbs 18, 21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Consequences. The effect, result, or outcome of something occurring earlier. Words that were said today will affect your tomorrow. Sometimes it will affect your afternoon. So when you leave church, if you don't have nothing good to say to one another, don't say anything. Okay. There's a fight going on back here. Okay. Proverbs 20, verse 15. You may have an abundance of wealth, piles of gold and jewelries, but there is something of far greater worth. Speaking revelation words of knowledge. Words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. Now, this was an add-on. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love wisdom, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt wisdom, and she will produce or will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Wisdom. And you say, how do I get wisdom? How do I get wisdom? I think that's pretty simple. You go to the Word, and what's the Word tell us? Okay. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask of God, who gives to you liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Pretty simple. And then guess what? You'll be able to speak a lot of words of wisdom. And then that's a lot more than gold and jewels. A lot more valuable. Our words and prayers that we speak are released into the spiritual realm of the supernatural. Choose your words carefully. Be aware of what rolls off of your tongue. Your tongue. Not off the end of your fist. That thing right there. That's powerful. That tongue. You know how you stay out of trouble? It's holding there. And you come, nobody knows what you're saying. That tongue. The words that roll off of that tongue. Without a tongue, you can't produce those words. Or nobody can understand you. Proverbs 26:25. It takes fuel to have a fire. A fire dies down when you run out of fuel. Man, I've been around some people. They know how to fuel that fire once they get started. You just wish they would shut up. So quarrels disappear when the gossip ends. Words fuel the fires of angry crowds. We've seen it. Every network covered it. Fox included, all of them. Words. They can take a crowd that's just starting with a little bit of flame, and you add words to it, and it just turns into an inferno. And then you find people rioting, burning stores down. And you ask them, what for? Some of them go, I don't know. I went along for the ride. Right? Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. In James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set amongst our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Set on fire the course of nature. Nature, the phenomena of the physical world collectively, including plants, animals, the landscape, and other features and products of the earth, as opposed to humans and human creations. Sets on fire the course of nature. Makes you stop and think a little bit more, doesn't it? That tongue, how destructive is it is. Now that same scriptures in the Passion Translation. And so the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it carries great power. Just think of how a small flame can set a huge forest ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. It can be compared to the sum total of wickedness and is the most dangerous part of our human body. It corrupts the entire body and it is a hellish flame. It releases a fire that can burn through the course of human existence. An uncontrolled tongue can do terrible damage. And Satan uses the tongue to divide people and pit them against one another. Idle and hateful words are damaging because they spread destruction and they spread it quickly. And no one can stop the results once they are said. See, we can't be careless with our words, thinking that we can just apologize later. Because even if we do, there's a scar. There's a scar that remains. A few words said in a moment of rage and anger can destroy a relationship that took years to build. Remember, words are like a fire. You can neither control nor reverse the damage they can do. Y'all remember the devastating fires out west? What we saw? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of acres burned. People lost their homes, their cars, lost everything. All because of a little spark. And it went uncontrolled. It will take years to come back. Only it will. But it'll never be the same, and neither will be the people. It has affected them. It has affected the landscape. It affected everything around them. It has affected us. Those fires affected each and one of us. James chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. For every wild animal on earth, including birds, creeping reptiles, and creatures of the sea and land, have all been overpowered and tamed by humans. But the tongue is not able to be tamed. It is a fickle, unrestrained evil that spews out words full of toxic poison. We use our tongue to praise God our Father and then turn around and curse a person who was made in His very image. Out of the same mouth, we pour out words of praise 1 minute and curses the next. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James wrote that to Christians, to believers, not to the sinners. They don't know no better yet. He wrote that out to folks like me and you. One thing, though, that will control the tongue, a little four-letter word called love. Called love. Our love walk. We are to be imitators of God. And being an imitator of God means we must imitate His love. The Bible tells us that God is love. His very nature is defined by His love. Everything He does it out of love. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
As children of God, we are to imitate and walk in that love. It's called agape love. Agape love. Well, you don't know what He said. Oh, you got to love many, huh? You don't know what He did. You got to love him anyhow, and you got to forgive him. Because His forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on your tongue. Come on. When you are learning, when you are able to forgive and to forget, and then He forgives you the same. And the taste of that is so sweet and so awesome. And you've shared it. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. What you say will bring you joy. Because if you say the wrong things, man, you beat yourself up. You have a miserable day, don't you? I wish that I'd never said that. Wish never said it. Thing of it is, you said it. And there's consequences to what you said. Consequences to what you said. And the word spoken in due season, how good it is. Especially when you're speaking God's word. In Isaiah 55, verse 11 and 15, God said, who said?
God.
Okay, I was right. Rain and snow fall from the sky. They don't return without watering the ground. They cause the plants to sprout and grow, and the plants make seeds for the farmer, And from those seeds, people have food to eat. Your Bible says bread, but it's food when you look at it. Food to eat. The words I say do the same thing. They will not return to me empty. That's verse 11. They make the things happen that I want to happen. They succeed in doing what I sent them to do. This is the power of the spoken word. God's word. He sent it out there for us to use. Use it properly. Back it with faith. And watch what happens. Just watch what happens. Because you know there's going to be success. In 1 John 4, verse 17, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. What Jesus has available to him, we have available to us. As Jesus is, so are we in this world, are not just words in the dictionary. They're more than that. Those words are a declaration. That life-changing declaration is a promise from the God of all things possible. Because God is the God of the impossible. What you think is impossible is possible with God. If God be for you, who can be against you? And with him as your helper, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. For you have the victory. You have the victory. The everlasting God, the great I am, who not only makes promises, but he also keeps his word, because they're one and the same. His promises are his words. What he has said about you, over you, will all come to pass. It's in our ball. It's our ball. It's in our court now. Are you going to shoot it, or are you just going to hold on to it? Declare and proclaim God's promises over this nation of ours. Over this nation. Because we are one nation under God. Indivisible. Unified. Unified. God's words over every situation and every circumstance will bring about change. Something supernatural will happen when you release God's word in faith over the nation and over your lives. Over our very lives. Especially when we release it out there into the atmosphere. Those words, they go relentlessly to work accomplishing everything they're assigned to do until they complete the assignment. There's power and there is victory, and there is life in his words. There's power and there's life and there's victory in our words when you believe and declare his word over your circumstance, your situations. John 6, Jesus said, John 6, 63, the words I speak to you are life, are spirit and life. Sounds pretty simple. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. But you know, I hate when you read that last little part. But there are still some of you who won't believe. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Why don't you just simply believe? Simply believe. And then word up. Word up. Fill your armory. Fill your armory so that when the attack comes, you have the weapons to fight it. That's what you store in your armory. God's holy word. And you know where the armory is? It's in you. In you. I think that is enough for today. And thank you for listening. But this is Flag Day. Enjoy it. Make sure you let other people know, because I know there's a lot of people that had no idea.